Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Waters, Nicky Lattarullo now working up at the New York Sports Network with us on 365 Sports. Wants TV here in the Waco area. Too. Nikki, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. How you doing?
Guys, thank you so much for having me on. I miss everybody. It was like, I just heard that whole intro and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that in so long. It feels so good to talk to you guys.
You too. We really do appreciate you being a part of it. What did I say, Craig? Oh, I thought, did I say the name of the...
SNY.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, SNY is Sportsnet New York.
Yeah, well, I'm New York Sports Network. Okay, Sports Network New York. Okay. So I saw a clip of Rick Pitino yesterday pretty late, and I thought he handled being left out of the tournament about as well as anybody could possibly handle it. What was the reaction you felt as well?
I honestly thought he was going to be more, not mad, but more like heated about it, and I feel like he did handle it very well. I think the situation is the Big East as a whole, I feel like, got screwed more than just St. John's. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like, as a whole, it's frustrating for all the coaches that only three teams got in. But St. John's did have a stretch where they didn't play well. They lost a lot of games. So I think that he knows that like it was going to be iffy either way based on how they played like down the stretch before that six-game win streak they had. So, I mean, I think the expectations for St. John's this year were really high, and it would have been great if they made it in. But I feel like the success they had at the end just goes to show, like, the success they will have with Pitino as their head coach.
I know that this, for him, is not really that big of a bump in the road, but for –
for St. John's as a program that is trying to get back to what they were, which is one of the premier programs in the country. How disappointing was this not to have that shot on the national stage?
I think it's disappointing only because, I mean, I guess I don't remember St. John's ever being a powerhouse, but going to Carneseca and then going to MSG this season and seeing them play, my dad was saying, like, the energy is what it used to be. Like, New York is behind St. John's when it, I mean, my whole lifetime, I haven't seen that. It's just like, I mean, my brother, now he goes to UConn, so obviously he's a UConn fan, but my brother and my dad are like diehard St. John's fans their whole life. So, I mean, those games were never packed. There was never like that same energy. It was just like, okay, this is kind of like a dying program. So the energy was really back and the fans were there and the games were awesome. So I think it would have just been like an incredible first season for him there, for them to make the tournament. I'm not surprised they're not going to the NIT. I feel like he's one of those guys that it's like we're in or we're not. Like, I don't see a reason for us to go to the NIT, so they declined that. But I think it's definitely disappointing just because the fans were getting a taste of what it used to be like. And this team is really, really good, but they are getting a lot of their guys back, so they should be good next year.
St. John's was good with Louis Carneseca as the head coach back in the day. You're right. Yeah. That was probably well before you started to kind of focus in on them. But it's great to have you on, Nikki.
Or she was alive.
Yeah, I don't even think it was in my lifetime. I don't even know.
I love that. So how much of a rock star is he? Even though they don't make the tournament, he's Rick Pitino. What a history. What a career. Some ups and some downs. He even mentioned that in his quote. But just what he's meant to that program.
I mean, I've enjoyed covering him. Obviously, I know, like, the type of coach he is and all the honors he has. And, like, it's just a really big name to have with a program that's not done so well recently. So it just adds, like, a special, like, aura around the team. But I think that, like, the players, even when they have a bad game or when they, you know, like, just fall short, the way that he reacts and, like, the way that he comes into the press conferences and the things he says, like, you could tell they just, like, really love playing for him and, like, they trust in what he's saying and what he's doing. So I think he's great for the program. I tried to get to as many games as possible, as many practices, just so I could build the relationship with him. And, like, he's been nothing but great to us and, like, he answers the questions well. I mean, I asked him, I don't know if you guys saw the sound, but I said, what do you guys have to do to beat UConn? He said, we need to have 6 of their players get COVID. And it was just so funny because he was like laughing. But of course, like, I posted it on Twitter and everyone was like going crazy. And I was like, obviously he's joking. He's laughing. Like, he's good with us in terms of not being too serious. Like, it's a interesting coach to cover, especially covering a guy like Scott Drew and then covering Rick Pitino. It's so different.
Nikki, you're a Big East grad yourself. You went to Providence, right?
No, I went to Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, okay, I'm sorry. I was very close. But the Big East did. You mentioned earlier, they did kind of get screwed here in this whole thing. What is the discourse around the conference about how they show that they are a conference that is coming back in basketball? Because if they do expand the tournament, if Greg Sankey gets his way, the Big East is not the conference he's talking about, but that's the league this year that deserved more entries than it got.
Yeah, I think the issue was that UConn was at its best, and then there was teams like DePaul and Georgetown that were at their worst. So it kind of made the middle of the pack this year not as strong as it usually is, because normally the Big East from top to bottom is good. So DePaul having like 2 conference wins, I feel like hurts like the St. John's and the Seton Halls of the conference and like Providence. But I think, I mean, you could tell they all, like Dan Hurley spoke in his press conference yesterday and he was like, it's embarrassing that we only have 3 teams in. And then you have Pitino saying, like, we were ranked, like, 30th in KenPom. Like, what does any of this even mean? So I think, like, the conference as a whole kind of got screwed. But I think it just depends on, like, the year. Because there was a lot of bid stealers with like Oregon and NC State that I do think that like Seton Hall would have gotten in. But I was surprised that St. John's wasn't even one of the first four out. So honestly, I don't, some of it, I'm just like, it's a little bit questionable, but I think it just may be the strength of the Big East this year.
So what's it like to get back to where you're from and work in that area again?
It's kind of crazy because I obviously grew up here watching the New York sports media. All the media members are still the same. So it's like I see someone like Bruce Beck, who's been in the industry my whole life, and I'm like kind of fangirling. But I'm like, wait, I'm like, now I work with him. And then it's just weird because the teams, I'm like fans of the teams. Like going in the Yankee clubhouse is like, at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, this is literally the Yankee clubhouse. Whereas in Nashville and in Waco, it was like random teams to me. Like, I grew to love them and like love all the coaches and the athletes, like great relationships, but it was just like different than now being home and like people I know watching the shows and being around people that I was like fans of. But it's really nice to be home, just to not have to take a plane to come home for things. So I'm very lucky and I feel like very fortunate that I was able to get back to New York this quickly.
You were great at telling your story and about also when you visited your family, you would always have like, you would have pictures of your parents and your family. And it was always, mm-hmm. Were you the one that had the apartment flood?
Oh yeah. That was me during the ice storm, the Texas ice storm.
Nikki, I will tell you this. I've covered the Cowboys, you know, so when Smokey and I started working together, he, you know, got me involved in covering the Cowboys. I had never done that in my career, and they're my favorite team growing up. I will tell you, there is a line you have to walk, because I know you're a huge Yankee fan, of when you walk, do that and, like, separate your, you know, your enthusiasm for it and your fandom from it, which is hard, but you do it. But the other thing is there's going to be a frustration that you have when they don't win, because now you know how the sausage is made, and you're just going to be like, God, I see it. I'm here. They can ask me. I'm right here. Just ask me, and yep. I'll fix it for you. That's how you're going to feel all the time.
No, I know. It's also, like, it's hard when we do, like, talk segments. We have, like, people on that are, like, opinion-based. And I'm just like the neutral host, but I'm like, can I get in here with my thoughts? Like, obviously, I try to throw in every once in a while, because also, I mean, I didn't grow up a Mets fan, but now working at like the Mets network, I also get heated about those things too, because it's like I'm covering it all the time. It's like the only thing we really, like, our number one thing we talk about, same with the Jets. So I'm like, oh God, we need some teams to be good this year, because it's not fun talking about all losing teams all the time. But I think it wears off kind of like the second. So it's like, okay, you interview Aaron Judge once. You're like, oh my God, this is cool. And then you're like, okay, he's normal. It's just a normal dude like every other athlete. So
the Big East, we know about the teams that didn't make it, the ones that were right there on the edge, but also UConn, Marquette, Creighton, all of them are capable of making a run. In fact, all of them are very high seeds, 1, 2, and I think a 3. How good are they in the times you've watched them? Obviously, we've watched them on TV quite a bit. Shaka Smart connection with Texas at Marquette. Yeah. And Creighton beat Baylor and knocked them out of the tournament last year.
I think UConn is a major powerhouse. I think they're better than they were last year. I think Marquette is good, but I don't think they're at the same level as UConn. I think Creighton is almost a bigger threat for some reason for UConn. Like, UConn struggles against Creighton where UConn doesn't struggle against Marquette. But I worked with Hurley at URI. So now I have a really good relationship with him. I do one-on-ones with him every time I see him, like, great dude, love him. So I'm covering the UConn games. They're in Brooklyn this week. So I'll be at that. And I just think, I feel like UConn has a really easy path to the Final Four just because of how good they are. But then I was watching Houston and I was like, Houston is the team. And then what happened in the Big 12 championship? So honestly, anything could happen any given day, but I do think the Big East has a leg up on a lot of other teams just because, like, the teams they play against in their conference.
Nick, if you don't mind me asking, because of what we saw when you were here in Waco, then you've moved all the way up now to where you are. When did you realize you could work in a market like the New York market?
I didn't until they hired me. I kind of just like always knew I wanted to get back, but New York is the number one market, so it's kind of out of reach, especially as like a young girl. So I was 21 when I was in Waco, and then I was 24 when I was in Nashville, and then I got this job when I was 25. And I feel like when they reached out for me to audition, I just did it because I was like, okay, it can't hurt. Like, I might as well. Like, I have nothing to lose. And then when they were like, okay, we want to hire you, then I was like, wait, is this real? Like, how am I getting this job at 25? Like, yeah, I trust that I'm talented enough. And, like, I know these teams like the back of my hand, but it still was like a little bit shocking at first. And now that I'm here, I feel like it's all the same. No matter what market you're in, you cover the teams the same. Like, the way you work and everything is the same. It's just a much bigger audience. But I feel like the work I did in Waco, the hours and like the filming, editing, producing, you guys see like how the local media is. We do everything ourselves. So I just think like that made me such a good reporter that I feel like it's easier to be in a big market when you're doing less.
All right. Well, the last thing I have for you is we also know you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And yet again,
yes, I am.
They won the Super Bowl. Your thoughts about how they got on the road, one in Buffalo, one in Baltimore, ended up winning the Super Bowl. Your thoughts about Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Listen, I had a little bit of doubt this year, not going to lie. I was tweeting all the time, like, this is not their year, this is not their year. I was, like, expecting, I was just, like, prepared. And then once the playoffs hit, I was like, I have no doubt. Like, this team's winning it all. The Taylor Swift thing, I freaking love because I love Taylor Swift. So I was just, like, loving every second of it. I think they're a dynasty. Like, I really think they're going to win, like, 6 out of the next 10 Super Bowls. Like, I just think Patrick Mahomes is so unreal. Like, no one even is at his level. That if they could fix the receiver issue that they had this year, I feel like no one's going to be able to touch them for at least the next 3 years if and when Travis Kelce retires.
And they just picked up Marquise Brown, right, Paul?
Yeah, Hollywood Brown. And they'll probably draft somebody at 30 or 32 where they are. So.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, can't touch him.
No, he's from a guy that could not quite get it done to now who's won 3 out of 4. And loaded with that quarterback who's very young, too, and Patrick Mahomes and the rest of his team re-signed Chris Jones and more. Nikki, thank you very much for the insight on St. John's.
Guys, thank the Big you. East.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Have a good day, everyone. Tell everybody I said hi.
We will. Nikki Lattarullo with us on 365 Sport.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.